Kind of funny, everything they've said and sang about and spoke. Is really relevant and pertinent to what we're going to talk about this morning. Into the darkness you shine, out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. I'm going to pray that right now for Matt's family. They're literally, their family is in ashes. Their life is in ashes. And I'm not going to short sell that Miranda and that family and Matt's family. I'm not going to short sell them that I just hope they'll get back on their feet materially. They need to be with Christ. And that song says, out of the ashes we rise, and that's what our Savior does. He lifts every one of us out of the ashes of our sin and gives us life. If you've ever tried making something out of ashes, it's not easy, but God is good. And so I want to pray for Miranda and for that whole family somehow, that God will raise them out of those ashes and bring them life. Let's pray. Lord, we believe in you. Lord, I know you can do this. I know you raise sinners out of their ashes of sin, and you give them life, and you make them new people, and you change them to be and look and sound like Christ. You're doing that with so many of us here. And I pray for Miranda. I pray for the kids. I pray for everyone involved in that family right now, Lord, that you'll raise them up out of these ashes and give them life. We don't have to stay in ashes. Lord, we have you, and you make things out of dust. So, Lord, we believe in you. We know the power of your hand. You are our Creator and our Lord and our Savior. You are all in all. Raise this family up, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. I really liked what Becca said. Did you catch that? Did you catch that wisdom in there? We need to concentrate more on Christ than on what we should be doing for Christ. And doing is important. Doing is huge. But we need to be concentrating and thinking about and loving Him more than what we do for Him. It's Him. He's amazing. That was a really speck of wisdom in that. That was beautiful. Concentrate on Him more than what's happening around you for Him. Philippians, the core of living the Christian life. And we are at the core of the Christian life today. Last week, I introduced you to what I think are the foundational verses of the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I want to read that to you again. I may read it every time we speak, just so that you can see this and relate to it as we talk. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more and more and more with knowledge, intense knowledge, and all discernment, insight, so that you may approve, test and reprove in your mind, in your heart, you can filter and approve what is excellent. What is lasting? What is best? What is Christ? And so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness, His righteousness, filled with the fruit of Christ's righteousness. It comes through Jesus Christ. You're filled with the fruit of His righteousness to the glory and praise of God. And later he would say, with joy and contentment. That's what this book is about, that our love will excel, abound, overflow more and more and more and more with an intense knowledge of Him and all discernment and insight into all of life and its situations, so that we can see with the eyes of our mind and the eyes of our heart, we can see into it and approve or pull out what is excellent, what is Him in it. We'll be filled with the fruit of His righteousness if we can see Him in it. And we'll be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. That is our prayer. Miranda's situation is perfect. They can't see it, but we can. Matt can. Others can. Those with the mind of Christ can look into that and look for Christ through that. That's exactly what he's talking about. For Paul, it was prison. And last week we saw that he was rejoicing in where he is at. He's in prison, and it says in verse 12, what has happened to me? What has happened to me? Where I'm at? It has really served to advance the gospel. At the end of the verse, he says, my imprisonment is for Christ. That is what has happened to him. He's going to rejoice in this. He is rejoicing in what has happened to him. My imprisonment is for Christ. He goes on to say in verse 14 that most of the brothers are now preaching the word of God more boldly. So my imprisonment's for Christ. The brothers are preaching more boldly. And specifically for Paul in verse 16, he says, I'm put here for the defense of the gospel. Specifically, I am put here for the defense of the gospel. In verse 18, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Don't try this at home. Jail is no fun. But when you have the love and the insightfulness and the knowledge of Christ and the love for Christ, if when you have this, you can look into imprisonment and you can see Christ running through it and rejoice, because you know what's going on. You know what's happening. If your house burns down, you can look in it and through it and see Christ and rejoice in what He's doing in it. That was last week. This week, Paul is going to rejoice in where he's going. To some of your Bibles, it's at the very end of verse 18. I think it would be great at the beginning of verse 19. He says, yes, and I will rejoice. You see that? I do rejoice, and I will rejoice. Future. So he's rejoicing in what has happened to him. He just mentions a few things. I would mention, too, that, oh, by the way, he wrote the letters of Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and Philippians to the churches that we now have also. Countless people were coming to him to be taught, to be won to the gospel and discipled. He's rejoicing in everything Christ is doing, but he says this, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, how many of you can say that? How many of us can say, I rejoice in where I'm at? I rejoice in what's happened to me. I rejoice right where I'm at. I rejoice in that. It's hard, but I'm rejoicing because I'm looking for and seeing Christ work through it. I'm doing exactly what Becca said. I'm rejoicing in Christ because I see Christ. And I'm not worried about all the things I should be doing for Him, but I do see Christ in this hard situation, and I see Him working, and I rejoice. But Paul says, and I will rejoice. And I'm just going to tell you, it doesn't get any easier for Paul. If you think his life is good, read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and he will give you the grocery list of his beatings, imprisonments, dangers, stresses. And I can tell you from history, he's going to be released from this imprisonment. And a few years later, he's going to be arrested again and die. The beatings aren't going to stop. The opposition isn't going to stop. The imprisonments aren't going to stop. It's going to keep going. And he's going to keep going. And he says, I'm still going to rejoice. I can tell you up front, I'm going to rejoice because I see Christ. I'm going to walk with Christ. And he's going to walk me through everything there, and I'm just going to walk right behind him. My love is going to overflow. I'm going to fill up my basket with the fruit of his righteousness, and I know I'm going to rejoice. Listen to what he says. This is off the chart. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it's my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. So let me just park you right there on that one thing he just said just for a minute in verse 20. He said, it's my eager expectation and hope that I won't be ashamed of Jesus Christ, whether by life or by death. So do you know what Paul is saying? If it's going to cost me my life, if this life is going to get really, really difficult, more difficult than it is right now, and I don't show courage in this body to share Christ and to honor Him, I'm going to be ashamed of myself. That's what he says. I am going to be ashamed of myself, whether by life or by death, if I don't stand with Jesus Christ. I'm going to be ashamed of myself. Wow. That's amazing. How many times have I chickened out? And I don't face what he's facing. And he just says, you know what? I'm going to be ashamed of myself. Realistically speaking, he says, you know what? Through your prayers and the help of the Holy Spirit, I think this is going to turn out for my deliverance. But realistically speaking, what I really want, it's my eager expectation, it's my hope that I'm not going to be ashamed, but with full courage, I will honor Christ if I live or if I die. Realistically speaking, I could die. Realistically speaking, my life's not going to get any better. Realistically speaking, I believe in the power of prayer. And I know the Holy Spirit is with me. So I really think and I hope to get delivered, to get released. But what I really, really expect and hope to happen is that I show full courage whether I live or I die. That's the realistic viewpoint of this. And it's realistic to expect and hope for this courage through the Holy Spirit, through your prayers. Realistically, this is going to be difficult. But man, I don't want to be ashamed of myself. Don't want to be ashamed. I want to honor Christ. I want to just keep going for Christ. And here's kind of the core, the bedrock. This is for me and you. This is where it all happens in verse 21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Makes a great wall hanging. But did you hear what he just said? And this is the baseline for living the Christian life. This is the baseline for that love that abounds in knowledge and discernment. This is the baseline to approve what is excellent, where you can see Christ in it and be filled with His righteousness. This is the baseline. This day, this morning, you and I will make a decision if this verse is mine or not. I'm not going to give an invitation, but I'm going to put it up front, and you are going to think within your heart this morning, yes or no. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That is the bottom line. That is the core. Notice, to die is gain. And he says, I'm hard pressed between the two. In verse 23. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. That's far better. Notice he didn't say, it would be far better for me to depart and get out of all this trouble. He said it'd be far better for me to be with Christ. He's thinking about Christ, not what has to be done. He just wants to be with Christ. That would be so much better to be in the room with Christ, next to Him, to see Him, to hear Him. That would be amazing. But to stay, to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account, verse 24. Convinced of this, I know I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and your joy in the faith. And you will praise God when we reunite. You will praise God because of me coming to you and my deliverance. You will progress and grow and have joy in your faith and praise God. But I've got to tell you, I dream of being with Christ. The core of Paul's life, the core of his moving down the path of the Christian life, the core of progressing in Christ, the absolute core of joy in the faith, in prison or if your house would burn down, the joy and the progress that you and I will make will be based on what we do with verse 21. To live is Christ. To live is Christ. I live and it's just Christ. For me, life is Christ. I have kids. I have a job. Yes. And for you to have kids is Christ. For you to go to work is Christ. I have a house that burned down and it's Christ. Life is Christ. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, it's Christ. I'm here on this planet to be and live and dream of and love and magnify Christ. Wherever I'm at, whatever I'm doing, my life is Christ. That's what he says. For me to live is Christ. To die, to be with him, is just off the chart gain. But everything in my life to live is Christ. It's hard. Man, I've been whipped and beaten and in danger and shipwrecked countless times. It's hard, but it's Christ. It's fruitful labor, but it's Christ. The core of this whole thing settles right on that phrase, to live is Christ. Or for us to live is Christ. Only let your manner of living be worthy of the gospel of Christ. And that's the question, so start thinking right now. Is that me? For me to live is Christ. Every time, every day, everywhere, every situation, to live is Christ. That's the core. Very little of this will make sense without that. Why would you look for him in your house burning down? Why would you look for him in a hard situation if your life isn't Christ? What if you said something more like this? For me, to live is me and my happiness. And to die is hard and scary. For me to live is about me and mine and our happiness. And to die is hard and scary. And isn't that what we say? That is our motto. For me to live is about me and mine and our happiness. Throw in our comfort. It's about making life as easy as we can on me and mine. And to die is really hard and scary. So I need us to start thinking about this verse. It's very small. I'm not a good memorizer, and I can memorize this verse. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To live is Christ. Everything will flow from this verse as we grow and progress in the Christian faith. As we find our joy in the faith like they were going to, and we keep it, it will flow from this. And I would say that if my motto really is, for me to live is our joy and happiness and comfort and ease, That's the breeding ground of all our instability, all our lack of love, all our sin, all our ups and downs and roller coasters. It's the breeding ground. It's the garden soil of our lack of fruit of Christ. And it's the garden soil of our lack of real praise and worship to God. If I'm living for our comfort and ease, just so things go as smooth as they can, If I'm just living for us, when us is, when the house burns down, when the times are hard, there's no joy. I got to get out of this. I got to get past this. I got to get the house rebuilt. I've got to find something to ease my pain just for a minute. Whether it's good with Christ or not, I've got to ease the pain. And it breeds all the instability you hear and read about and see on Facebook of all these other Christian friends and people. It's all this instability because their life never was Christ. It's them. If that's our motto, life is about me and mine and just making it as good as I can for us, you're in trouble when it comes to your progress and your joy in the faith. Because it goes like this. Life goes like this. And when you find yourself in a prison cell or in a house fire or in the loss of a job or just in a hard marriage or hard relationships at work, those people just keep messing with you. Whatever it is, if life is really about you and yours and as much comfort and as much things as I can buy and bring into our life, if that's really who you are, you're unstable. And you are just going to reach for everything you can to help you get through until things kind of smooth out again in this life. And that is not at all what he is saying in Philippians. He's saying, I will rejoice because I'm going to follow Christ and see Christ through this life, and to live is Christ. No matter what. And I want to tell you that you can make that decision in your heart today, that for you to live is Christ. Every second, every minute of every day. To live is Christ. You can make that decision, but it'll be hard. It'll be hard. I don't think you'll get a ton of sympathy from Paul at this point because he's in prison. And he's been beaten. And he's been shipwrecked. And he's going to be some more. And he's going to lose his life. He's just saying, for me, my whole existence is Christ. And there is so much joy in that. There is so much progress in that. And he's going to tell us here in just Chapter 3, he's going to say, I haven't already obtained. I'm not perfect yet. I'm still growing. I'm still progressing. But for me to live, my existence is Christ, no matter what. There's tremendous joy. And we can follow him. Do you know why? Because in every moment of our life, in every situation that we live in, Christ is there. If he's with you, if you are his, if the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in you like he said it was, he's trusting in your prayers and the Spirit of Jesus Christ, he is with us through every situation. And that situation may be just, the room may be just clouded with trouble. This whole room is a bad situation and it is just full of trouble. But Christ is there. And there's a path, there's a thread running right through this trouble where Jesus is walking ahead of us. And all we have to do, it doesn't matter the trouble there, the trouble there, the trouble there. It hurts. It hurts. I'm just going to follow Christ through this trouble. I'm not taking my eyes off of Him, and I'm going to follow Him wherever He goes, because He's never going to be defeated. He's not going to come up on the short end of it. He's not going to lose. He's got purpose and a plan and fruit to be picked in this big mass of trouble I'm in. In this really hard prison, in this house fire, in this marriage, in this job, whatever it is, they're not going to beat Jesus. So I'm just going to follow Him right through it. And you know what? I'm going to pick the fruit all along the way. Boom, fruit. Oh, there's His fruit. Oh, there's where He's taking me. Oh, there's fruit. And I'm going to have joy in that. I'm going to have joy that nobody's taking away. It's hard all around me, but Jesus is leading me in through it to the fruit and to the glory of God in it. I'm not saying, please don't get me wrong. I am saying it is hard. It will cost you to do that. It will cost you to do that. And I don't know what the cost is going to be for you. It's going to be huge, probably. It's just the baseline. It's just the matter of my life is Christ. Is that us or not? To live is Christ. And you can either say it or you can't. That's the question I'm asking us this morning. Is that you? To live is Christ. Doesn't matter what it costs me. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. Because I'm going to walk with Him through all the fun and the fury of this life. And I'm just going to pick His fruit all along the way. He's going to walk me through it. Hey, Terry, there's fruit right there. Get that, will you? Hey, Terry, grab that fruit right there, will you? Whoa, that one hurt. Out. Yeah, you got in the stickers, but there's fruit right there. Reach down in there in them stickers and grab that. Yep, got it. Good, thank you. Here's fruit here. Man, your basket's getting full, Terry. This is cool. How do we do this in such a hard situation? This is crazy. Yeah, I know. There's more. There's so much more fruit here. They're never going to stop us, Terry. You stick with me. They're never going to stop us. To live is Christ. I'm convinced that's why the church in America is so worthless and deluded and weak today. Because the church of America, to live is for them. To live is fun. To live is no judgment, no conviction, no change, and there's no progress, and there's no fruit of Christ, and there's no glory to God. There's shame all over the pages of the internet and our magazines and of lives. So I'm asking us, this is a huge question I'm asking. I know. I understand how huge this is. Where are you at? My life, my existence is Christ. It's a growth thing, right? It's a growth, progress in the faith. I'm growing. Paul says I haven't achieved it all yet. It's a growth thing. But my life is Christ. And I will say to us, the faster we can get to that, and the closer we can get to that, the more Christ-like we will become. And the more this book will make sense to us, how we can love with knowledge and discernment, how we can be filled with the fruit, real fruit, of Christ and his righteousness and really glorify God. The faster we can get to my life is Christ, the faster we will get to bearing the fruit we all want to bear for him. You want to bear fruit for Christ, right? That's why you're here today. You want to bear fruit. You want to worship him. You want to glorify God. I do too. It's only where he takes you. It's only where he says, there's fruit, pick it. Why are you leading me into this deep, dark woods, Jesus? There's fruit in there. Why are you leading me into this big, huge bramble patch, Jesus? There's crazy fruit in there. Is your life Christ? Will you go do whatever? You are going to serve him no matter what. That's what I'm asking us this morning. For me to live is Christ. Faster you get there, the faster you will find the fruit. Your basket will begin to fill, and your joy will be unstoppable, unquenchable joy. You will rejoice in the situation you are in, and you can say, I'm going to rejoice because I've been with him for a long time now, and I wear the bruises and the scars of following him because it's just that way. But man, is it cool. Man, is it fun. Man, is it joyful to pick that much fruit and to see him, just to watch how he navigates life, just to watch how life wants to beat him, and he just kind of slips on by and bears his fruit, and they never quite get their hands on Jesus. Man, I love following him. The core of everything you and I ever talk about right here is all are we developing and building toward this goal, this platform of our life. To live is Christ. What we don't realize sometimes is that is how we should have started this journey with Christ. We should have started that way with the seed of that, and now we're growing more and more. My life is Christ. Whatever comes my way, whatever it costs me, that's fine. Because there's joy and fruit all over following him. It should have started that way, and it probably didn't for many of us. Listen as I read. Tell me how similar this sounds to you in Galatians chapter 2. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, anybody here, your endeavor is to be justified in Christ. That's what you want. You want to be justified, made right with God in Christ, okay? If in that, my attempt, my endeavor to be justified in Christ, we are found to be sinners, I still sin. Is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. If I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law, so that I might live to God. So he's saying, if you make this decision that you give your life to Christ, for me now, my endeavor to be justified, you and I might say to be saved, my endeavor to be saved, but I'm still a sinner, so is Christ then the Savior of sin? Is he like sinful then somehow? No. No, the law says I'm a sinner, and because I still sin, I'm just proving that the law is right. The law is right. I am a sinner. Jesus is not sin, I am. But my endeavor to be saved is about me surrendering myself to Him, believing Him, trusting Him, faith in Him. Here I am, Lord, take me. That's the initial, that's the starting point of our salvation. Listen, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I don't nullify the grace of God. My sin doesn't nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I have been crucified with Christ. That's how I got saved. I have been crucified with Christ. I died to myself. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. For me to live is Christ. That's what he's saying. It's the same author. From day one, you and I should have looked at Christ and said, in my endeavor to be saved, I want to be right with God. And the only way to do that is to throw back the curtain and say, here I am. All of me, take me and build me. Do what you want with me. That is how we should have started. And if I keep sinning along the way, I don't prove him to be a sinner. I prove my life is sin. The law is right. I'm a sinner. Does it nullify his grace? No, my righteousness never came from me living so good. It came from me emptying myself, dying on the cross with him and saying, my life doesn't count anymore. For me to live from now on is Christ. And then we begin to grow in that. For me to live is Christ. And the life I now live, did you hear, catch that? And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. Who I follow him wherever he goes. I just keep right on his narrow little path that leads to life. And I pick all the fruit along the way. And he goes, whoop, watch that. Whoa, missed it. Grab that piece of fruit, put it in your basket. Come on, Terry. It's really getting narrow right here, man. That's a really steep cliff right there, Terry. Be real careful. Grab that fruit. Got it. That's how I live now. And it is so adventurous. It is so amazing to see the living God today walking me through some of the hardest things you'd ever believe. Nothing like Paul, but really hard things. And it costs me. It does cost me. I'm not going to lie to you. It costs. It may cost you everything. You may decide to sell everything. You may say, Jesus, I'm following you, and there's not room on that little boat you just got on for all my stuff. How am I supposed to do this? Throw it overboard. Throw it overboard. I don't need that. We don't need that. Get rid of it. Jesus, that path, that little gate you're going through, I'm going to follow you, but man, how am I supposed to get this car, this house? How am I supposed to get all this? How am I supposed to get everything I have, everything I've built? And how am I supposed to get this through that little gate? You're not. You don't need that. You need me. I can't serve you without all this stuff, Jesus. I can't serve you without my career, without my job, without my house, without my stuff, without my closet, without my cars, without my golf clubs, without... I can't serve you without that. I can serve you better with all that. Can you see his face? No, no. Just put that all aside and follow me through this really tight little squeeze right here. Bring your basket because you're going to fill it with fruit. And you're going to see me. Worry more about watching me than watching everything you think you should be doing for me. To live is Christ. Not to live is Christ in our stuff, Christ in this, Christ in all mine, Christ in all my comforts, Christ in all my things, Christ in all my happiness. That's not. To live is Christ. And He will give you fruit and joy. He'll teach us how to walk in love with discernment and knowledge. How to look into the deep, dark forest and just get a glimpse of Christ's pure white robe up ahead of you. That's all I can see. It's so dark in here. All I can see is the brightness of His white robe. That's all you need to see. And I'll be ashamed if I don't. I'll be ashamed if I don't have the courage to follow Him wherever He takes me. I'll be ashamed. And there are so many Christians today living in shame. I don't think they've ever been introduced to this concept or to this thought, to this scripture that says, from day one, you take your hands off everything in your life. It's all His now. And if He says, toss it overboard, I toss it overboard. But by the way, you'll never lose your joy or your fruit. This will be an amazing adventure for you. And you will see Jesus. And although you've never seen Him, you will love Him more and more and more and more with knowledge and discernment and insight into this life. He will raise your life out of the ashes and build you an eternal life that you cannot imagine. And I know there are people walking all around us, sitting all over churches this morning, who have no idea what I just spoke to you. Have no idea. Their comfort, their cures are all about themselves. They have no idea what it means to find joy in Christ alone, in prison or in a house fire or a divorce or bankruptcy. Without all my stuff, how could I ever be happy? And I'm asking you one last time. For us to live is Christ? Question mark. For you and you alone. Don't look at your spouse. Don't look at your spouse. What if the Lord takes your spouse home? Don't look next door. Don't look across this aisle. For you to live is Christ. Your existence on this planet is Him. That's the question. Sometimes we ask ourselves, how did Paul do that? And I can't really see myself ever rising to that occasion. And his answer is to live as Christ. On Wednesday night, we're watching a documentary right now, the fastest growing church in the world. It's in Iran. And they actually interview some of the Iranese. It's a a lot of women. They interview some men and women, and they dub their voice and they fog their face because obviously they'd be killed. And they said, the wife, the one lady says, when I leave the house every day, I know I could be beaten or raped or never come back, but me and my husband has made an agreement that it's worth it, that this is what it's about. I will tell you, for them to live as Christ and to die as gain. And if they can do it, you and I can do it. It's not out of our reach. But our hands are so full of us and our life that we're going to have to empty them to get to this short verse, to live as Christ. The joy will be unstoppable, and you will clear up so much shame, so much instability in your life. And you will see Christ. You will see and love and fall in love deeper and deeper, more and more with Christ. I pray that's where you're at. I believe right now He's speaking to you. I think He's speaking to every one of us in here right now. For us to live is Christ. Is it? Lord, I pray Lord, may Your Spirit talk to us right now. There are people in here now trying to push this verse away, trying to make excuses, trying to duck behind cover from this verse, from this truth that You've spoken over us, Lord. And I pray, don't let them hide. Don't let them hide. Give them courage, Lord. I'm praying for them, for Your Holy Spirit now, to give us courage that we'll never be ashamed. Lord, make us Your servants who say to live is Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. See you guys. Have a good day.